Back to politics now. And with me on the line is Amber Forbes, the Greens candidate for Corio. Amber, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me on the show, Mitchell.
No problem. Well, how's the campaign going? I saw you at pre-poll on Saturday, just before things wound up there. Have you been spending a lot of time out there on pre-poll?
I have. I spent the whole day out there on Saturday. It was very, very busy, and there's a lot of people out there very engaged with this election, which is really, really good because we need that engagement.
What were the voters that were coming through talking to you about? I saw you were there with two other candidates for Corio, so it's a good opportunity for them to meet who are their potential new local politicians.
A lot of it was about climate change, which is fantastic because we know we don't have much time to make a change. We need to act now, and a lot of the voters were aware of that, as well as the candidates. I was talking to Richard Miles, and he was talking about how this is climate, like the absolutely is this is the climate change election, and we can do something about it. And there was a lot of community groups as well handing out like policy comparison guides, showing the major parties' policies, showing how their actions are on climate. And the great thing is the Greens score really, really high on these cards, and voters want change. We want action on that.
If voters are concerned about climate change, why are the Greens the best party to vote for?
Well, for the Australian Conservation Group, they've ranked us 99% for our policies on actually making a change for climate change. That's much higher than Labor, which is about 50%. And the Liberals, yeah, they didn't score very well at all. So if people want to make a difference, they need to vote for parties that actually will take real action on climate change, not just talk about it for the votes, but really are. And the Greens have been, for as long as we've been around, we started off as an environmental activist group and went, we need to get into politics as well. So Victorian Greens have been around for 25 years. We've been campaigning on this since the beginning, and we're not going to stop. We're not going to just bow to pressure. We are going to keep up the pressure to go, we need to make change now, and we're going to hold the government to account. So it's time we made that change and just stopped talking about it and actually take action. And this is the chance where voters can make that change, can have their say and tell the government, tell everyone in politics that this matters, and stop debating it and actually make change. Go to 100% renewables. I mean, the Greens have a plan by 2030 be 100% renewables in Australia. We have that ability. Like, Australia, on the world scale, we're one of the best places to be for renewable energy, and yet we're lagging behind. It doesn't make sense.
What do you say to the people like the Labor Party, for instance, that say it's economically unfeasible to have 100% renewable energy by 2030?
It's not, though. And that's the thing. Like, if you actually talk to the energy industry, to go to 100% renewable is not that hard. They're literally crying out for these policies that are not in place, and they can do it. There are so many different industries that we could switch over to 100% renewable energy really easily if the political policies were in place.
If we could just go back a bit to your story, obviously you ran as the Greens candidate for Lara at the state election last year. People would remember you from that. But do you want to tell us a bit about yourself and what your background is?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've grown up around the Geelong and like the Great Ocean Road area. I've also grown up in Tassie, and Australia holds a special place in my heart. I've gone around the world. I've seen a lot of different countries. I've lived in like Hong Kong and America. I've lived in the UK. I've lived in the Middle East. All really incredible places. And you come back to Australia and you see how multicultural and vibrant Australia is. We've got all these different amazing people that live in our country. We've got the food. We've got the culture. I mean, I was at Geelong After Dark the other day, and Geelong is an amazing town. Like, out of all the places I've been in the world, Geelong is up and coming, like, incredibly, and we need to promote Geelong and, like, be happy to live there. And I'm so happy to live. Like, I live in Norlane, and I love the area, the local communities. I go to, like, the farm next door for my veggies, or there's another one in Lovely Banks. And there is a real sense of community in the Corio electorate that I really love just living there. And I've thought about living in other places, and I'm like, no, you know what? I don't want to move. And I want to make sure that our community is listened to.
And what's your day job when you're not doing politics?
Yeah, so I work in health and safety, which has been very interesting. I've just moved into this area about 6 months ago, and it's really important. And I love that my job is about making sure people come home safe at the end of the day, that every time they're doing a job, we're thinking about how do we make sure that this job is done safely and that we put people at the centre, that we put the environment in the centre and go, let's make sure that everything we're doing is right
now,
and safe.
Just on the point, you say you live in Norlane. I'm curious, do you feel there, living there, that there is a real, what they call, infrastructure deficit in the north? This is what we keep hearing, that a lot of the funding goes to the southern parts of Geelong and areas closer to the seat of Corangamite. Does the north miss out on infrastructure, and if so, where does it miss out?
Look, yeah, I do see it around when you just sometimes walk around and you feel that there is not as much in the north. There are some fantastic things, but a lot of them are run by the locals just going, look, there's nothing here, we're going to make it happen. And one of the reasons to vote for the Greens as the first preference would be to make the seat a swing seat. If you make that Corrie a swing seat, stop like it being just safe Labor, then we'll get that funding. And it's an unfortunate situation where it's just taken for granted and overlooked. And you look at Corangamite just next door and how much funding and promises it gets and its visits and everything because it's that swing seat. And it's just not right.
There's a lot of talk about, I suppose, the fact that there's a lot of people from outside the north that don't live in the north that are trying to say to the north what the north needs, if that makes sense. A lot of talk about the Northern Arc. I mean, you're someone that actually lives in the north, so you're in a position to actually comment on what it is that the north needs. What is the priority out there? If you were to fund one project, would it be the Northern Arc? Would it be something else?
I don't think it's up for me to say because there are a lot of different community groups. I would say to fund the community as a whole and said, yes, the Northern Arc would be absolutely fantastic, but we need to do things that are like funding for housing because it is multifaceted out there. Better public transport so you have those connections into town and out. And there are some good bus links, but sometimes they don't run very late, so you're stuck.
Yeah.
So it's not just a single point you need, just this one thing to change, because there are many different demographics there. Like, there's the grandparents who need a different to the young family.
Are the Greens committed to funding the Northern Arc?
We're definitely committed to funding community service and arts and everything. Whether or not we have the specific funding for a place, unfortunately that's more of a government thing, and I know hard to say. We don't have control of the budget, so we can't just say, yeah, we're going to spend X, Y, Z on particular things, but we would be all for funding community places.
How do you feel the Greens are tracking more broadly? Are you confident in, for example, Janet Rice retaining her Senate seat, and even more broadly, people like Sarah Hanson-Young, will they be re-elected to the Parliament on Saturday, do you think?
The atmosphere on the ground is that a lot of people are really tired of the status quo. They're really tired of no action happening. So I've seen there's a lot of people that are voting for parties and voting for minor parties and voting for the Greens for the first time ever when they've been traditionally one of the major parties because they are very tired of the major parties. So, yeah, we have a really, really good chance of not just having our MPs back in a camera, but of having more elected. I can look at Melbourne. We're probably going to get another couple of lower house seats.
Which seats will they be, do you know?
No, fingers crossed. We've already got Julian Burnside there. The poll's just coming out now that that's a really good contention. He's got a shot there.
Well, we'll see what happens. Look, before I let you go, I'll let you make your final pitch to the voters. Why should people vote for you on Saturday or at pre-poll if they haven't voted already?
As I said, this is the climate change election. We have to make a change, and if you've never voted Green before, think about it now, because we will hold our government accountable and we will make action on climate change, because if we don't do now, we can't wait any longer.
Well, Amber, thanks so much for being on the program. Best of luck for Saturday, and let's catch up soon.
Thanks so much, Mitchell. You have a lovely day.
Thank you very much. Amber Forbes there, the Greens candidate for Corio this time.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.